Yeah, kind of a mini city. So very beautiful. I was fortunate to be able to come up here and be with all of you. Ramachandra Prabhu here. He made that arrangement. You know, he's asked me to come up to Portland. So I told him, sure. Invitation means get a ticket.
Maharaj is a very wanted man. He's going to Brazil, China, and these next.
Well, you know,
India.
Kind of reminds me of my uncle. My uncle was a career officer in the army. So when I was little, he came to visit us, and I said, "No, let's play war." And he says, "What? Look, when a mailman's on vacation, you don't ask him to go for a walk." So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I've traveled my whole life. Most of the time I'm not anywhere for more than 3 months, kind of living all the time out of a suitcase. So you know, the idea of going to, I like this trip, nice and short and sweet, but the idea of going, you know, like now we're going to Thailand, China, India, and then Brazil, it's like, I like being in those places, but I don't like getting on planes and traveling for 20 hours, 25 hours on a plane. It's like, I got better things to do. You know, you're on a plane.
You could do a hard knock on the plane.
You can? Well, sometimes we run into people who are friendly on the plane and everything, you know, and come up to us and ask questions and stuff. So that's nice. But then there's the other parts, like going to Heathrow Airport. That's like one of the worst experiences. Three and a half hours waiting to go through immigration. Wow. Yeah. But this is very sweet, you know, just come up here. Although when we got on the plane yesterday, we waited an hour and a half in the airport, or close to 2 hours, like, you know, they had to change two tires. And I thought they do that in maintenance, you know. But apparently when we landed in Portland, a stewardess made like a joke where she said it was very nice, this nice landing. So the landing was kind of, you know, it was okay, it was normal. But I guess that's how the two tires maybe got blown out when they landed in San Jose, because maybe the landing wasn't so nice. But anyway. So it's, the whole thing is to have association with Vaishnavas. That's really the whole, you know, being by yourself, there's no, you know, even I find reading, when I'm reading by myself, you get much more when you, like reading Chaitanya Charitamrita with anybody else there, one, two, many people, doesn't matter. And it's like, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, the difference when you're reading by yourself, you know, then you have to concentrate. When you're reading with other people, then it's like you're listening, and then it's very nice. And then a lot of times even though we go through the Chaitanya Charitamrita and reading it over and over again, about every three and a half months we finish and then start the Chaitanya Charitamrita again. Then after you hear it so many times, then you're thinking, wow, I never heard that before. Or I don't remember. Or some new meaning comes out at you. Very nice. So, that is, it's really the mercy of our, you know, it says, Goprit Vaivaranam, but our divine guardians are, you know, having this association of Vaishnav saints. Like, had some time with Srila Prabhupada, and then Washila Srinar Maharaj, and then Washila Govinda Maharaj. Especially very, Srila Govinda Maharaj was very merciful to everyone, because they're all very merciful. It's not that Srila Prabhupada wasn't merciful. He was very, very merciful. People have told me, oh, Srila Prabhupada, he was very strict. And I thought, did you know Prabhupada? To say that Srila Prabhupada was very strict, Srila Prabhupada was very, very merciful. I don't think I could imagine anybody being more tolerant than him. You know, he's like dealing with, you know, if you read his purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the seventh chapter of the Adi Lila, where he's talking about the glories of Panchatattva. And there is a description of where Mahaprabhu goes to Varanasi, and he's preaching to the Prakashananda Saraswati and the Mayavadi sannyasis. And they all say, oh, you're a sannyasi, how come you don't study the commentaries of Vedanta Sutra? Why don't you study Vedanta Sutra? And then Mahaprabhu said, my spiritual master considered me that I was a fool and I couldn't understand the Vedanta Sutra. Which actually Mahaprabhu, when he was young, he is known as Nimai Pandit, and he defeated the Digvijay Pandit from Kashmir, the greatest scholar in India. So he wasn't exactly a fool or unversed in the scriptures. But he is presenting it that way to the Mayavadi sannyasis and Prakashananda. He says, then I said, my spiritual master said to me that you're a fool, you cannot understand the Vedanta Sutra. So he gave me this Maha Mantra, this chanting. And after a while, I asked him, in the Bengali, he says, what kind of mantra is this? What kind of mantra have you given me? Because by this mantra, I become like crazy, like Puggle. You know, sometimes I'm laughing, sometimes I'm crying, sometimes I'm rolling on the ground, sometimes I'm, you know, dancing. He says, what kind of mantra have you given me? And then he said, my spiritual master was very pleased. And he said, I'm very pleased with you because these are symptoms of Krishna prema, of love of Godhead. And I'm very pleased to see that is the effect of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But when Srila Prabhupada gives the purport, he explains it like what the relationship was with us. And he says, my dear boy, I am very happy with you, so keep on chanting Hare Krishna. And he goes and explains it. And it was really like that, my dear boy, because we were like boys and girls with Srila Prabhupada. He was, you know, 75. We were like 20, 25, like that. So there's two generations difference, 50 years. And he was like dealing with us like an affectionate grandfather and so merciful and calling us his children, you know, my dear boys, my dear girls, like that. So Prabhupada was like that, very, very sweet and teaching you everything, you know, teaching you how to cook, teaching you how to dress, teaching you how to dance, teaching you how to sing. All that. I was with him and he took me to the Bombay Gaudiya Math temple there. And I was very new and he's asked me to sing Gaur Aarti. And at that time, you know, I knew three verses, three out of seven verses. So and then they hand me a mridanga. And I'm playing mridanga and I sing three verses and I didn't know any more verses than that. And Prabhupada's like beaming, like, see, he can do something. It's like so proud. I was embarrassed, you know, but he was very happy. Yeah. Then we were with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and Srila Sridhar Maharaj is really like Srila Govinda Maharaj said, he is very Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he's like these, he can give the highest siddhanta, and he's really the spiritual master of everyone. And Srila Prabhupada felt that Srila Sridhar Maharaj, in the absence of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was training him. And he had very close association. I remember when I went to the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt, there was a picture of Pishima, who's Prabhupada's sister. She's in the Brahmachari ashram, you know. There was a picture of her, and she had paid for it, the printing, first Bengali printing of Prabhupada Jivanamrita. And Prabhupada used to carry that book around. So when I saw her picture there, I knew Pishima because I'd seen her in Mayapur, and Prabhupada had me once, you know, take her to her room, and she was holding my hand. She looked very much physically like Srila Prabhupada. She was walking with me, and I was holding her hand and taking her to her room, and she said, "Oh, Baba," like that. So I knew Pishima, and then I see her picture in the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt years later. This is after Prabhupada and his sister, Baba Tarangani, I think is her name. Huh? Baba Tarangani. She is a disciple of Bhakti Sharanga Goswami Maharaj. And there's her picture in the Brahmachari Ashram at Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt. And I said, "What's her picture doing here?" And they said, "Oh, she's part of our family. She's part of the family." So, and Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he was, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, you could say he was strict. But then again, we're all like Srila Sridhar Maharaj is a year older than Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was born in 1896 and Srila Sridhar Maharaj in 1895. When he's also dealing with us as an affectionate grandfather. But then, you know, Srila Govinda Maharaj, we were with him for like 25 years, and that was so much nice association with Srila Govinda Maharaj. And he treated us very much, you know, as everything, as guru and as friends. He was very much like as you were his personal friends, and, you know, sometimes joking with you and everything. And I remember once with Bhakti Kiran Giri Maharaj, who's old Bengali Giri Maharaj, He's a disciple of Bhakti Sharanga Goswami Maharaj. When Srila Sridhar Maharaj, when Srila Govinda Maharaj, he told this story how the Nabadeep Dham Parikrama started. That there was this man who is called a Zamindar, very rich man. Zamindar means big rich landholder. And he lived in Nabadeep. But he was really a degenerate. He was a drunkard and womanizer and all these things. You know, really degraded. And his wife was very concerned what to do with how she could, you know, she wasn't like that. But she was really concerned about her husband. So one time she was with her husband and her father. And they were walking near the Ganga, near the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt. And she said to her husband, she said, "Oh, I hear there's one very saintly sadhu that lives here." And then her husband laughed and he said, "Are you trying to convert me?" And they took him to the Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt, and there was Guru Maharaj and Guru Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and he preached to them for 2 hours. And by the time he was done preaching, that man was crying. So then that person became a disciple. And the man's barber came to see Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and he offered full dandavats to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And he says, "I'm offering full dandavats to you because we've always heard stories about Nityananda Prabhu saving Jagadi and Madai and all that." But he said, "But they were just stories to us." But he said, "I knew this man. I was his barber. And he was really fallen. And now he has become, you know, your disciple. And he has changed." So then Srila Govinda Maharaj went to their house in Bardwan. And Srila Govinda Maharaj said that house was in the Guinness Book of Records for the most people living under the same roof. They had like 300 people living in the same big house, you know. And anyway, then Srila Govindamaraj, he got that man to become the treasurer for the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Nabadeep Dham Parikrama. And Govindamaraj said, I will collect money and then I will give it to you as the treasurer, and whatever we lack, you'll put in the difference. So that was the arrangement with the man. And at the same time, then he told Srila Sridhar Maharaj he wanted to start Nabadeep Dham Parikrama. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, but we don't have enough people here. And he said, I will do it with Yajnavar Maharaj's men and with Bhakti Sharanga Goswami Maharaj's men. So they joined together to make Nabadeep Dham Parikrama. So since that time, Bhakti Kiran Giri Maharaj is, you know, he's up till about a year ago, he would always go with us on the Nabadeep Dham Parikramas every year. But now he's too old. He's in his, I don't know, he must be 90 or something. I don't know. Very old. And his health is bad. So he doesn't go anymore. We meet him at the Bhakti Sharanga Goswami Maharaj Mat in Nabadeep, which is Nandan Acharya Bhavan. But anyway, then Govinda Maharaj started that Nabadeep Dham Parikrama. And so this, like, anyway, so that's Srila Sridhar Maharaj. He was able to preach to that man. And Srila Govinda Maharaj, he's always dealing with us as, you know, in a very affectionate way. And sometimes Govinda Maharaj would eat with us and he'd take food off our of our plates. You know, we'd be sitting with Srila Govinda Maharaj. You know how we'd take... You know, we always would want to get Govinda Maharaj's prasad from his plate, but sometimes he would insist on taking something from our plates. And then he called Bhakti Kiran Giri Maharaj, this old Giri Maharaj, and he made him sit down, and then he gave him food off of our plates, you know. So Govinda Maharaj said he did that to break his... You know, Govinda Maharaj is breaking down everyone's, like, inhibitions. He said with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, one time one lady came there who was a disciple of Jayatirtha Maharaj, and she wanted to cook for Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So she cooked. So Srila Govinda Maharaj said, she has cooked something for you, so you should take it. And then Govinda Maharaj, Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, well, you know, I have my own, I only eat my own special food, because Srila Guru Maharaj, he didn't have any teeth. He didn't have any teeth. He would eat like ground up muri, ground up puff rice and mixed with some, you know, some other things. Govinda Maharaj would eat that. He'd eat that muri. Govinda Maharaj had teeth, of course, but he'd eat muri mixed with, what's that? That children, baby food, what's it called?
Formula?
No, not formula.
Oh, Horlicks?
Huh?
Horlicks?
Oh, yeah, Horlicks.
Huh? What?
Compota.
Horlicks. No, it has a, there's a name for, a special name of the company, I forget.
Gerber?
No, not Gerber. That's in the West. I'm talking about in India. I forget what it is. It's like, it's ground up... Ground up cereal.
Farina.
No, not Farina. You have to cook that. Anyway, he would
Horlicks.
Eat. Huh?
Horlicks.
No, it's not Horlicks, anyway. I forget what it. Govinda Maharaj used to eat it sometime. And then, let's say, I look at him, I said, is that any good? Is that any good, Srila Govinda Maharaj? And he said, babies cry for it. And anyway, Guru Maharaj used to eat, you know, ground up muri and maybe with some water or some, you know, maybe born beef, something he'd mix with it. Anyway, this girl made something for Srila Govinda Maharaj, and he said, just, she's made it for you, so please take some of it. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, I have my own special food. And then He said, no, but just stick your finger in it and taste it. She'll be happy with that. Mm-hmm. So she had made pizza. She made pizza for Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So they brought it to Srila Guru Maharaj. Govinda Maharaj gave it to him, and he put his finger in that and tasted it. And that lady was very happy. So then Govinda Maharaj said, in this way, Srila Guru Maharaj lost his Brahmanism. So Srila Govinda Maharaj was always like, you know, he was like very affectionate and very, you know, playing. Sometimes he'd be, you know, talk with us and so sweetly, and sometimes very sarcastically, you know. And he'd say things like, I'm like Lord Jagannath, he'd say. He says, Jagannath has no hands and has no feet, but he has big eyes and he sees everything. So he says, I am seeing all the things that you do wrong, and I don't say anything. He says, I don't say anything, but I have big eyes. I see it all. But he wouldn't correct us sometimes till several months later, and then he'd say something that you knew what he was referring to, even though maybe it was months before, but he had a way of saying. So then, all this time has passed, and it's been like I only kept on going for the affection of these Vaishnavas. Otherwise, why did I want to, you know, if it were not for the affection of these Vaishnavas, why would I want to waste my time? You know, waste my time with something strict like devotional service, full of rules and regulations and all these, you know, things. And then people cook all these nice things. That part's okay. But, you know, and then the devotion, that Vaishnav association, that's, you know, that also we're living for that. It keeps us honest. I was remembering, I took sannyas from Srila Prabhupada, and when Srila Prabhupada asked me, he said, why do you want to take sannyas? And I said, because I can't get along with any of my god brothers. That was my answer. And Srila Prabhupada said to me, oh, very good reason. He agreed with that, because I think he also had trouble getting along with his god brothers at times. But anyway, I was people were surprised. I thought that, you know, nowadays if somebody asked for sannyas and they said, why do you want to take sannyas? If they said, because I can't get along with anybody, you know, that wouldn't be a very good reason for them. But Prabhupada thought it was a good reason. He liked that. Anyway, it was still the association with devotees, always living for that association, always being with devotees, you know. Some things can go on that is very, very sweet and nice, and then some things are a little less nice, but, you know, still. It's just like being part of a family, you know. Sometimes in your family, you know, somebody will be way off base, right? Somebody's way off base, and sometimes there's arguments or something, and when I think back upon that, I think how much my mother must have suffered with me and my brother. My sister, she was like 7 years younger, so she was always the little princess who got never any correction for her. My brother and me, we were terrible, and so she, if somebody did something wrong, she'd punish the two of us for good measure. If I did something wrong, we'd both get punished. If he did something wrong, we'd both get punished. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, he's the baby.
Yeah, that's always.
And it, I can relate.
Yeah. I used to remember that. My mother, she went through a lot. So it's like that, being with devotees, you know, in a family relationship. Sometimes things, you know, but all in all, it's like the best kind of life you could possibly want is to be with devotees, to be out there with other people. It's like, what do they have going for them? I mean, I'm not trying to be despicative or talking down about people, but I'm just saying, you know, like, you know, if you... Srila Sridhar Maharaj has said, a person is known according to their ideals. So many people in this world, some people have ideals, but so many people don't have any ideals. And they don't live for any ideals. So I think that's kind of like a very empty way of living, if you don't have any ideals. Srila Sridhar Maharaj commented, a person is known according to their ideals, what they're living for. So that is nice. I'm not saying devotees are the only ones with ideals. Other people have some ideals in life. You know, and there are many good people in this world. And that's part of our philosophy, that just like the quality of a Madhyamadikari is to worship the Lord, associate with the Lord's devotees, preach to the innocent, and avoid the association of those persons who are demoniac, you know, or... with Srila Prabhupada, and we went to a college in Calcutta, and that was during the time of the Naxalite movement. They were killing a lot of people in India. So we went to this college, and after, you know, everyone's, you know, 20, 21, pretty much the age of the devotees, too, and went to that college. And then afterwards, this one very wise-ass Bengali, he said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, we see all of you are chanting and dancing and seem to be very, you know, happy with this, but I don't see any of the students chanting and dancing, and I don't see any of the students very interested. Could you say why that is? This was his question to Prabhupada. If that's not a challenging question, I don't know what it is. And then Srila Prabhupada answered him. You can understand why his name was Aboy Chanrande or Aboy Chanranaravinda. Very fearless. He just said, well, he said, if you don't have any interest, it must be because you're one of four kinds of men. Namam duskratino mudha prapadyante naradama maya parita gana surambhavamashrita. He says, duskratina, impious persons. Namam duskratina mudha. Says, maybe mudha, asses. All you know how to do is work and come home at work and then going after just some sense enjoyment. People are working like asses and they're coming home to enjoy with their family or, you know, maybe have some sexual relationships. He said, mudha. Prabhupada would talk very frankly like that. He said, or maybe you're naradama. Lowest among mankind, lowest among men. Maybe interest in poetry, cultural events and everything, but no interest in anything spiritual. Therefore, he said, naradama, or maya parita jnana, all your knowledge is simply stolen away by maya, illusion. Or he said, or maybe you're just a surambhava mashrita, just demons. But he pronounced it demons. He says, maybe you're just demons. And he said, but don't take my offense. I'm not saying this. These are the words of Krishna, and he's the supreme personality of Godhead. That's how he answered it. Then we had kirtan. That student didn't ask any more questions. He was like very direct, you know, but humorous also. Anyway, I was saying that so many people in this world, you know, I'm just, you know, I don't want to pass judgment on anyone, but I'm just saying it's very nice to have the association of devotees. Without that association, it's like a material whirlpool, we'll say, or something, you know, just going around. You get sucked down into it. So, you know. And many of you have some association. You have your families. You have your devotional families. Some, you know, I really kind of value that, because you have like shows that people have enough faith that they're willing to pass on their faith to others, you know, and give it to others. Not in the form of some kind of indoctrination, but just kind of like in my house, if somebody would come to the house when they were eating, when my parents were eating, they would invite them to sit down and take part of the meal. It was just part of their way of being, you know. So it's like that. You know, if you have something that you find very tasty, like you find Krishna consciousness very tasty, then you may share it with other people. We're not like, you know, I'll say this as a joke, we're not like Vishnu's witnesses, or, you know. We're not going out to, because, you know, the whole philosophy, Trinada Pisuni Chena Toro Riva Sahishnuna Manina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Humility, offering respect to others, and tolerance. How can I have humility and offer respect to others if I'm going to go out with the idea that I'm going to be some kind of savior to other people? That would be a completely, you know, out of context, really. That would be a very not a proper mood. But a proper mood would be that if I'm eating something, you know, I'm eating something, and I'll say, here, this is really good. You want to try something? And you give something to somebody else. You like it, so you say that, you know. Now, we were also singing a lot of songs, you know. Sometimes the kids were clapping and then sometimes running and everything. Singing. When Srila Govinda Maharaj came one time to Soquel, he wanted to sing some of these songs, and I said, well, Srila Govinda Maharaj, nobody here knows these songs. And he said, well, if you don't sing them, how will you ever learn them? You know, so then after that I thought, well, that's good. Then talking with Chagi Maharaj and everything, and so and say like that. Okay, we'll start with Guru, to Srila Gurudev. Then we'll do to Panchatattva. Then we'll do to Vaishnava Thakurs. And then we'll do to Nityananda Prabhu. And then we'll do to Mahaprabhu. And then we'll do to Krishna. And like that. And when we went to Salt Lake City too, we were doing like that. And it was very nice. Those devotees are very enthusiastic about kirtan. Sudarshan and the other devotees there. What is it? Nimai and who else? Oh, Haridas from Venezuela. He's there because he's married to that Kamala. So, had a nice time there singing and being with the devotees. Very nice. Figure that's something good. Who can criticize a life if you're singing every day? You know, how many people are singing every day in their life? Nice thing. You know, somebody was even telling me, I'm not very into psychoanalysis, but they say, oh, they say that song does this and that for each person, you know. You know, it is very soothing, very nice singing. So anyway, all of you have family, you have children, many of you, and these children, you know, it's very nice that you've taken this and giving something to others. Very nice. A nice thing. You know, I remember when I was young, all I wanted to do was run away from home from the time I was 12 on. When I applied to college, I didn't apply to any college that was within 3,000 miles of my house. But those times have changed. When I came to Srila Sridhar Maharaj, then I developed a different relationship with my parents. And before, you know, I was in India 5 years, and my mother came to see me, and my father and my mother came, and I shook her hand. Those were ISKCONI days. Huh?
Mother.
Yeah. But then when I was with Sheila Sridhar, I'd go see them and stuff, and they're different, you know. You know, Srila Govinda Maharaj said when he met the devotees in Nanangat, they came there and he said, they brainwashed me. All they said, you know, this family is nothing. This father, this mother, this is nothing. So many fathers and mothers we've had. So many families in all species of life, you know. And, you know, this is all, you know. And he said, this way, they were brainwashed. And then he told them, all right, I'll go to your mat. And then he was thinking later, what have I promised these people, you know? I'll go with them to the mat. He said, what about my wife? What about my life? What about my, you know, what about my life, my job, everything I'm doing here? And then he said, he thought, but I promised him, and I can't break my promise. So he said, I made a condition. I said, all right. I will go with you, but only if we go tomorrow. Otherwise not, but must go tomorrow. And they said, okay, we'll go tomorrow. And that tomorrow was Nisringa Chaturdasi. And they took him to see Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So in that way, he said, all this time they were brainwashing me. I'm thinking, yeah. Maybe if your brain is very dirty, what's wrong with washing it? If your mind is very dirty, then a little bit of soap and water is good.
Just a little?
Huh?
Sorry, just a little. I was being sarcastic.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever had to bite into a soap bar.
Yeah.
I was one time lying, and my mother made me put a soap bar in my mouth. Tastes very bad to put a soap bar in my mouth. I didn't have to eat it, but very bad tasting. Very bad. But anyway, again, happy to come here. Anyone have any questions?
Well,
it's really early. When did we start?
11:30?
Huh?
11:30
or something
like that? Okay. No, 12:30.
What time is it?
Now it's only 1:30, right?
We started at 12:30.
I thought it was like 4.
We brought our old friends from Vancouver, Mandas and his
wife. Right.
Our old friends, they came, we just met in Vancouver.
What's your name?
Manu Das.
And?
Satrupa Das.
Where do you live?
In Vancouver.
In Vancouver.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Originally from Montreal.
From Montreal?
Originally.
Oh, okay. Never was in Montreal, eh? Was in Toronto. But not Montreal. Yeah, I visited the Toronto Temple. And only through Vancouver, not. Sometime I'll go there.
Yes, you'll be so happy. We can pay a ticket. We will. Tell us when.
Okay, after we come back from Brazil.
When that will be?
Huh?
When that will be?
November to mid, end of November, maybe December can come up. Maybe we even drive up or something. I don't know. How far is it by car?
From Soquel?
Another 6 hours from here.
And how far is this from Soquel? 11 hours.
Yeah,
so it's like 18 hours.
17 non-stop. 17 stop, 17
stop. But you take 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
I mean, you got places to stop.
Oh, it's easy. Yeah. It's probably easier just to fly into Seattle. And then you can go right across,
yes,
right?
Yes.
couple hours from Seattle, right?
2 hours.
Yeah, because when I flew into Vancouver, we flew on Air Canada to England once. When we flew into we changed plane in Vancouver, we had to go like through a 2.5 hours. There's a 2 hour layover because we had to go through the whole thing with immigration, you know? It's like, hey, we're coming in from America into Canada. What's this?
Isn't that immigrating?
Immigration for 2 hours or something? Like, you know.
Another country.
I was thinking, but it's not like we're flying in from Venezuela or something. flying in from America.
I was going to say.
But they do that in America, too. It's, you know, you fly first port of entry, and then they punish you. They punish you. They make you go through this whole ordeal, you know. Well, I mean, for other people, they may be flying in transit, but they have to go through that thing. So I was just going in transit. And I was thinking, what's this 2 hour in immigration? I'm just going through Vancouver. But then when we didn't land. That's why we didn't land in Vancouver. The stop wasn't in Vancouver. It was in Calgary, and then coming back was different. We landed in Vancouver, and you had the option there of going through Canadian or American immigration in Vancouver. Yeah, when you could go through. Like American immigration in Vancouver, I guess that something like that. It was kind of strange, you know. Different than Calgary. Anyway, nice.
Once I had somebody to come to Vancouver, first we have some temple. If you open some temple, I go.
Yeah, we heard one. Joke about Canada that they said God was making the creation, you know, and he said, I have made this earth and I have everything balanced, right? Like there's some good here and some bad in each place, you know. So he was giving examples of different places where they have this good quality and that good quality. But then when he started describing Canada, he said, the country is very, very beautiful and everything is very beautiful. The people are very, you know, nice nature and there is very beautiful wildlife and everything like that. And he goes on describing like that. And then somebody says, well, he said there's always good and bad. Where's the bad? And he says, wait till you see who I'm giving them as neighbors. Anyway. Sometime I'll come up to Vancouver. That Yudhimanyu's from Seattle, and Ramananda from India always says Shaddle. He's from Shaddle. Does anyone have a question? Yeah?
I was wondering, what is the proper mentality? There are so many different kinds of Vaishnavas in the world. Who are from different camps or like that, and how we can associate with them or be in the world with them without being offensive?
That's a good question, actually. You know, I remember, you know, one time. You know, Srila Govindamar, sometimes different persons would approach him for initiation. And some of the persons that would approach him for initiation, you know, he didn't really want to initiate them. They were coming maybe from some other Vaishnavas, something like that. And he said, we are told that we should take Vaishnav remnants, like Vaishnav Prasad. But he said, but it may be that some Vaishnav remnants are indigestible. That was his remark. So anyway, I will try to offer respect to all Vaishnavas. But, you know, there may be some situation. I'm not necessarily, you know, into this idea of universal Vaishnavism. Somebody came to Srila Govindamar and said they wanted to make him president of the World Vaishnav Association, like the Universal Vaishnav Association. And Srila Govindamar refused. And he said, it is not like Khitri, mixture of so many different things. He said, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Guru Maharaj, he had his own place. He had his own songs. He had his own worship, everything that he established. He said, so we want to maintain that line of Srila Guru Maharaj. We're not trying to merge it with everything else. But we'll give respect to the Vaishnavas, but in some cases we will give respect from afar, and in other cases from very much afar. And in other cases, you know, I won't even go on any further. There's some situations, because of what they think or what they believe or who, you know, we won't associate with them. And when I travel with the devotees of the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math, we would go to different cities and different places in Navadvip and different places in Bengal. We were traveling. We took Cook with us also, you know. This was with Tirtha Maharaj and other devotees. And sometimes we would, you know, be in places and towns where there weren't any other devotees of the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math, and people from other mats would invite us to take prasadam at their house. You know, they were disciples of this person or that person. But we didn't go to eat at their houses. Rather, we had the cook who would cook for us. But then we got to a place where we were going to called Memory. And there were disciples. There was just regular, you know, we had with us, you know, Brahmacharya was cooking and everything. But when we got to this place, Memory, then there were disciples of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and they invited us to their house, and then we would go to their house and eat. And one of the reasons we didn't take prasadam in some of the other places, because, you know, I don't know, it's not, I don't think it's really fanaticism, it's just that we're, you know, have our own conception. So that conception of Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Govindamar, that conception means something to us. So we want to honor that conception. And we'll invite other Vaishnavas and we'll associate with other Vaishnavas, but still we keep kind of that conception of Srila, of our Gurudev. And then Srila Govindamar, he would always talk about Vaishnav chastity, about maintaining some chastity to your Guru. And that was important to him, to have that chastity. And it's also, there's some philosophical basis, because it says that the relationship with a guru sometimes is compared to the relationship of a woman with her husband, you know, that marriage kind of relationship. And certainly certainly one of the things that's important in a relationship of marriage is that there's some, you know, chastity. There's some kind of faithfulness there. Otherwise, what is the value of that marriage if there's no chastity or faithfulness? You know? So that consideration is there. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the story of Vallabha Bhattacharya, he comes to visit. Yeah, isn't it his name? Vallabha Bhattacharya comes to visit. Huh? Vallabhacharya. Vallabhacharya, he comes to visit Mahaprabhu, and he very proudly says that I've written a commentary that's better than the commentary of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. This is old Srila Sridhar Maharaj from, you know. And Mahaprabhu, when he heard that I've written a commentary of that's better than Srila Sridhar Maharaj's, that Vallabhacharya said that, Mahaprabhu didn't want to hear it at all. He said, because he said, Sridhar Swami, I've written a commentary better than Sridhar Swami. Now, the word Swami in Bengali means sannyasi. It also means husband. Swami means husband, I remember, you know. Anyway, to shorten the story, then Mahaprabhu said, a woman who's not faithful to her Swami, which means husband, but in this case it was a play on the word Sridhar Swami. Woman who's not faithful to her Swami, to her husband, is no better than a prostitute. So we see that kind of chastity to one's spiritual master is an important quality, you know. And we're always saying, Yasya Prashada Bhagavat Prashado Yasya Prashada Nakatika Topi Dayam Stuvam Stasya Yasya Srishanyam Bande Goroshi Chananaravim. Whatever is favorable to the spirit, one makes spiritual advancement by what is pleasing to the spiritual master will cause you to advance, and what is unpleasing to the spiritual master will cause you not to advance. And then it says, Jayam Stuvam Stasyaya Shastvishandam. Then I should always remember my spiritual master. It's always been like that. I won't do or won't associate with someone who's not, you know, pleasing to my spiritual master. So I have that consideration. But I'm happy to be in the association of Vaishnavas. But I'm not without any discrimination or discernment, you know. What is, you know, that exists in this world. You have friends. You're not friends with every thief and every bum in the street or every person that's going to come into your house and rob you. You're not friends with all those people. You may have an appreciation for humanity and people in general, but, you know, it doesn't mean that you're without any discrimination or any kind of, you know, discernment, you know. So, like that, with Vaishnava Association. Yes, we want Vaishnava Association, but we're not going to associate with those persons who are not favorable to our advancement and not favorable to our Gurudev. You know, somebody who's inimical to Gurudev, then I won't associate with him. And I have that consideration. I remember years ago, you know, I was in India, I was with Prabhupada, and then I was very ill, I was in the hospital. And one person who I thought before was a friend, he came to visit me. And, you know, I was happy that he visited me, but then he criticized Srila Prabhupada. And he said, who does he think he is? And I said, I think he's your spiritual master. Who do you think he is? I didn't want to associate with that person ever again. You know, you may be my friend. You say something against my spiritual master, I don't want to see your face. You know. So, I'm also, you know, I appreciate the association of Vaishnavas, but at the same time, if someone is outside of, you know, the scope of, you know, there is persons who criticize Srila Sridhar Maharaj or Srila Govinda Maharaj. I don't want their association. I don't want their disciples' association. They may be very innocent people, and I don't look down upon them, and just, you know, I consider it's unfortunate that they have not an inimical, they took shelter of someone who has an inimical relationship towards my spiritual master. You know, someone who wants to criticize my spiritual master. I don't care, you know, they may be pure as the driven snow, you know. Very pure and very sweet persons, you know, but I don't know. I don't know what to do about that situation. You know? And I'm not saying, you know, we came to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. We had been, you know, we had heard things against Srila Sridhar Maharaj when we came to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Then we had, you know, it's like, then we changed. We were able to change. It's not the person's locked into situation, you know. And then we took shelter of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. We took shelter of Srila Govinda Maharaj. I felt that that was a way of changing. That was a way of correcting what I considered to be an aparad to Srila Sridhar Maharaj, to become his disciple, to become disciple of Govinda Maharaj. I didn't reject my relationship with Srila Prabhupada. I'll always be his disciple. And I felt like that, you know, it's like Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit, when he was introduced to Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he thought, what kind of Vaishnava is this? Because Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a zamindar. He was very rich. He had a country house, a summer house in Navadvip. He dressed in luxurious silk clothes. He had curled, perfumed hair. You know, he smoked out of a hookah, maybe. I don't know. And everything. He was sitting there smoking a hookah. And then Mukunda had taken Gadadhar Pandit to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He said, do you want to see a Vaishnava? And Gadadhar Pandit said, yes, I'm always anxious to see a Vaishnava. Then he took him to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, he took me to see a Vaishnava. What kind of Vaishnava is this? He's a luxurious man attached to enjoyment. How can he be a Vaishnava? Then Mukunda, understanding his heart, began to sing a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about how merciful is Krishna that he has accepted, you know, Putana. She came to kill him. She came to, with poison smeared on her breast and offered her breast as to Krishna as a baby to suck on her breast and poison him. But he sucked out her life air and he promoted her to the category of Vatsalya, to the Vatsalya position of a nurse, of like, you know, parental relationship. He gave her liberation on that level of Vatsalya Ras. So then Mukunda was singing that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about Bucky. Bucky means, you know, Bucky is a sister of Bakasura. Bakasura's sister, Bucky, very affectionately known, Bucky, Putana. Oh, Bucky. And Krishna gave that Bucky liberation. And Gadadhar Pandit was looking, and when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard that, he began tearing out his hair, tearing his clothes, destroyed the whole room and everything, and then went into trance for 7.5 hours or something like that. You know, so, and Gadadhar Pandit said, what kind of a I was thinking, what kind of Vaishnava is this? And now I'm seeing. So I'd made some offense to this Vaishnava. And then he thought, the only way of correcting this offense is to take shelter of this Vaishnava, to become his disciple. Then he decided first he would ask Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu always called Pundarik Vidyanidhi, called him Bap Pundarik. Bap Pundarik. Bap means father. Father Pundarik. Because Pundarik Vidyanidhi is the, you can say, the incarnation of Brishabhanu Raj, of Radharani's mother. Father, rather. Radharani's father. And Mahaprabhu is feeling that mood of Radharani. And he's calling Bap Pundarik. So then when Gadadhar Pandit said, I'd like to take initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Mahaprabhu said, very good idea. It's a very good idea. You take initiation from him. So I'm saying, you know, I'm maybe making some strong remarks that, you know, we want to be careful of what association we have, even with Vaishnavas. But nobody is locked into a position. Somebody can come and take shelter of Srila, like we came and took shelter of Srila Sridhar. Maybe we had some apprehension previously, you know, because people heard a lot of wrong things in ISKCON. And they came to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And then we took feeling, oh, this is a mistake, this is an aparad, let us take shelter of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, correcting that. So it is possible anything can change. There's a Bengali saying that says, just because my mother was born naked doesn't mean she's going to go naked her whole life. You know, something like that. So anyone can change. They can change their viewpoint, change their attitude. But I am not necessarily looking for always this universal, homogenized Vaishnava association. What do you say? It's all been, everyone's been broken into little particles of Vaishnavism and all combined together, homogenized Vaishnavism. And I think I'd rather have the, you know, the, what do they call it? Straight from the utter Vaishnavism. Or my poem once wrote, "De cows me mutter, I loves no utter." What?
Yeah, Shiramash recalled that. I'm saying that we as a Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we don't associate with Sahajiyas who are coming from in Gaudiya line, but rather we are leaning close to Sri Sampradaya, which is farther because of purity, right? This closest ideal.
It's true. Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he used to quote many verses from the Sri Sampradaya, from prayers of Kulashekar, the prayers of Yamunacharya. And it's not from our Sampradaya, but they are prayers that would be quoted by us because they are the sentiments of our Acharyas. Whereas, as you're saying, the Sahajiyas, apparently they're Gaudiya Vaishnavas, but they're not. They brought everything down to a cheap level. They brought what is divine down to a level of, you know, sensuality and sexuality, and it's not. It's not like that. So we don't want anything to do with that kind of conception. And sometimes I hear all these people, they say, oh, you know, this or that. Well, I'm not on that level. I'm a follower of Gurudev, I'm a follower of Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. By Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, I have some entrance into the worship of Shishu Radha Govinda. We're singing Saraswat Arti. We have all so many prayers. But what, you know, when Srila Govinda Maharaj came to Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he had known so many songs of Narottam Das Thakur, etc. And then Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, you can forget those songs. And he gave him the songbook, the Gaudiya Gitanjali, and he checked off these songs. Many songs. You learn them by heart. Many, many songs of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Yeah.
Those songs. Like 30 songs from Sharanagati.
What?
You gave me like 32 songs from Sharanagati.
Was it? If you want, we can sing Emuna Durmati. I said I was going to sing that before, and we didn't sing it. And so, but we sang also another song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Sharanagati. We sang Ki Jani Ki Boli. Oh, maybe we'll sing Emuna Durmati and Maha Mantra. Or, like that. Then we take prasadam. It's always good. Maybe we should just sing Maha Mantra now. Because.
Yes.
I am on the Durmati then. This time we'll get the page right.